Sunday the 8th of December 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, A Star is Born. Sermon title, Stars in the Sky. Bible reading, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 18 to 26. Talk by Darrell Williams.
The Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 18 to 26. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, that he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, morning all. Can we all hear me? Have a wave at the back. That's good. Right, okay. Right, Isaiah 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. What a powerful question. Who created the night sky? Who created the heavens and the earth? Not only is God responsible for each star above us, he knows each one of them by name. He is the architect of every star and knows them all. Not one is missing. Perhaps to give some context on the greatness of God's creation, consider this against our attempts at space exploration and looking out into the universe. It was the 4th of March, 1957, when Sputnik 1 became the first satellite and also the first human-made object to successfully reach space. It was, by today's standards, tiny and was around the size of a beach ball. It orbited the Earth once every 98 minutes. It was launched by the then Soviet Union and marked the start of the space age, and also the space race between the United States of America and the USSR. Less than a month later, November the 3rd, 1957, Sputnik 2, the first biological spacecraft, was launched. It was 4 metres in height and was a cone-shaped capsule. On board was a dog Laika that became the first living creature to orbit the Earth. Sadly, this was a one-man mission for the poor dog, who was only expected to survive a few days and actually died within a few hours from overheating in the capsule. January the 31st, 1958, was the day when America launched its first satellite into space. It was also the same year when the National Aeronautics and Space Agency, otherwise known as NASA, came into existence. Explorer 1 provided transmissions until the 23rd of May 1958, and it continued to travel around the planet until the 31st of March 1970, when it re-entered the Earth's atmosphere and burned up, having orbited the Earth over 58,000 times. The Soviets went on to record a number of other firsts in space exploration. Luna 1, launched 2nd of January 1959, became the first probe to successfully fly past the moon. Luna 2, 12th of September 1959, became the first human object to reach the moon. Then there was also Luna 3 that took the first photos of the far side of the moon, and Luna 9, which achieved the first soft landing of a human object on the moon and transmit close-up photos of the lunar surface. The achievements continued. April 12, 1961, Yuri Gagarin on board Vostok 1 became the first man into space. The entire mission lasted just 108 minutes, with Yuri orbiting the Earth once before he ejected from his capsule at an altitude of 23,000 feet to parachute safely back to the Earth's surface. Then there was Valentina Tereshkova, who became the first woman to be in space, lifting off on the 16th of June 1963. She spent just over 70 hours in space, and during 3 days in Earth's orbit on board Vostok 6, circled the Earth 48 times, performed scientific tests, and took photos of our planet. America needed to find a way to respond. So President Kennedy made the famous speech to Congress on the 25th of May 1961. He challenged America and NASA to land a man on the moon before the decade is out. And he said, "I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to Earth." NASA achieved that goal on July the 20th, 1969, when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on board the Apollo 11 lunar module Eagle touched down in the Sea of Tranquility. Neil Armstrong steps foot onto the moon and then speaks out those famous words: "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." It is incredible to think, when we look up at the sky, that it was just over 60 years ago that we first ventured out into space, and only 50 years ago that man first reached the moon. We can only estimate how many stars there are out in space, with the figure running into billions of trillions. Whilst exploration of our universe has led to many technological advancements, without which we would not have satellites transmitting TV, telephone calls, and providing navigation systems, what we know about our universe is small. Mankind has only ever reached as far as the moon, with our next aspirations being to try and reach Mars. Travelling to the very depths of space remains only in the reach of science fiction and television shows such as Doctor Who and Star Trek. When we consider how vast and amazing the entire universe is, perhaps only then do we get a glimpse of how great, how powerful God truly is. Isaiah 40, verse 18. "With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him?" It is amazing when we consider God's greatness and to also know his unfailing promises and love. God is never too busy to hear our prayers. He never considers anyone insignificant and not worth caring about. He always keeps his promises, and with the nation of Israel, continued to reach out to them time and time again through the prophets, even though they continued to rebel and sin. God kept calling the nation back. I also just want to pause for a moment here, and this is something I remind everyone each time I'm asked to talk during the Advent season. In our preparations for Christmas, please make sure you make time to stop and reflect on the love of God. Make sure you have some time for prayers, reading, and fellowship. There are so many pressures on us that it is far too easy for the real reason of Christmas and its message to get drowned out. Let's not forget that Christmas is a time when we celebrate hope entering the world. Our awesome, powerful God, creator of the universe, who after sending prophet after prophet to try and guide the nation of Israel back onto the correct path, sends Jesus to be saviour of all mankind. Despite our sin, our failings, and everything we do wrong, God continues to show love and mercy towards us and invite us into a relationship with him. Over the season, there will be many who will visit churches, perhaps for the only time this year. Let us make sure we welcome all who come to visit and let people know there is plenty of room in our inn. The pews may not be the most comfortable and we may need new heaters, but the warmest of greetings come from the heart, and this is a time when we can demonstrate God's love for everyone. Isaiah 40, verses 19 to 20. As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. We need to be careful. We do not place our hope in false idols. Verses 19 and 20 from Isaiah represents the foolishness of the people who created fake gods. If we invest in God, we will never be let down. But in these verses, we see the attempts by people who created an idol that will not topple. These idols are pathetic compared to the overwhelming majesty of our Creator God. Despite God's love and patience, there were people in the nation of Israel who time and time again rebelled against him, preferring instead their own woeful attempts to create objects for themselves to worship. Why would anyone do such a thing in the presence of our Creator God? Isaiah 40, 21, 22. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. The verses from Isaiah read similar to that of the challenge to Job. God here is like a critical parent who is carefully speaking and nurturing a child. This is a loving correction, not a condemnation. This is a note of reassurance, and God is reminding us that he is unfailing. Do we really think that God, who knows every star by name, is unable to deal with our present troubles and the difficulties we may face in our day-to-day lives? When we consider the greatness and power of God, I think this raises some important questions. Is it ever wrong to question God? If God is so powerful, why would he care about us and the situations we may find ourselves going through? How can each of us be confident that God hears our calls? The world we live in can be a deeply troubled place. We often see divisions, difficulties, and suffering throughout the world. We are not exempt from this, and as Christians, our faith and values will often be countercultural to that of society. I think it is healthy to ask questions, and also important that we do so. The difference is whether our questions are genuine and done so in a manner where we seek God's help. If we seek God, we can have confidence he hears us. It is important that when we pray, that we do so with an open and honest heart. Do we truly want God's help and intervention? Are we really open to his answers? Faith is not always easy to maintain, especially when facing difficult and painful situations. The important thing is, do we trust God? There are times in prayer where I need to recognise I have limited knowledge and God is all-knowing. When I think back over the last decade and some of the things I have prayed for, there have been times when God has said no, but for good reasons. And I can look back now and recognise that God knows best. He could see the full picture where I could only evaluate situations from what I knew at the time. There have been times where I've had to patiently wait and continue to be persistent in prayer. And after a period of trial, the blessings came. And there are, of course, times where God's grace has been truly amazing and I have known his incredible interventions in my life. At Christmas, we celebrate God's intervention in our world. Let's just picture again the incredible size of our universe. Let's just picture again our attempts to explore space against the overwhelming size of our galaxy. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ. God responds to a damaged world and sends Jesus to repair the broken relationship between man and God. The Nativity story is the most powerful and incredible love story. God, the creator of the universe, who knows the billions and trillions of stars by name, sends Jesus, God incarnate, to be born man into the world on a mission where he would live amongst us, minister to us, heal the sick, eat with us, enjoy fellowship with us, reach out to the rejected in society. He would face both the best and worst of humanity and ultimately take our sins upon the cross, defeating death that we might be saved. Hebrews 11:1-3. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. May I wish you all a blessed Advent, and when it arrives, a peaceful and happy Christmas. Amen.